This is Ozarks at Large. The work to slow the spread of COVID-19 infection continues in different ways with varying results from state to state. The economic fallout from bankruptcies to business closures to layoffs continues as well. Roby Brock, with our partner Talk Business and Politics, asked Mervyn Jebaraj, the director of the Center for Business and Economic Research at the Sam M. Walton College of Business at the University of Arkansas, about how the country and Arkansas are doing with the virus and its effects. Roby began the conversation by asking Mervyn where the national economy stands at the moment.
I think considering everything that has happened this year in 2020, which is turning out to be quite a year, the national economy is roughly where we expected it to be. The first quarter data that we have for the national economy obviously showed, after all the revisions, that the national economy contracted by about 5% in the first quarter. It's important to keep in mind that for most of the first quarter, January and February, things were mostly normal, at least here domestically. And most of the economic contraction then really came from the closures and the fact that people stopped going out as much as they did and spending as much as they did in the middle part of March. And obviously some of that first quarter effect was from trade, especially with a lot of our trade partners that had gotten hit earlier from the coronavirus than we did here in the United States. At least hit more severely than we did here in March at the time. So, looking ahead to what the second quarter statistics released will be is, you know, what we expect to be a really large negative swing in GDP. Estimates are anywhere from 20 to 30 to some even say a negative 40% decline in GDP, which is something that we really haven't seen. But it is commensurate with our experience of shutting down large parts of our economy for what was essentially most of the month of April across this country. Now, the bright spots, at least from an economic statistics perspective, was that I think a lot of businesses and a lot of states opened up their businesses earlier than most people thought would be possible. I think most estimates when we were looking at second quarter expectations were that the economy would be a lot slower in May and June like it was in April. But a lot of states around the country went ahead and started reopening various parts of their economy starting in early May. And obviously by the time June rolled around, a lot of different sectors of the economy were open in various states around the country. Now, we're obviously paying for that reopening now with higher case positives and with more people infected with coronavirus and the pandemic really surging again in the United States and a lot of different states. But it remains to be seen whether that kind of mitigates the economic effect that we were expecting, because a lot of businesses were able to open in some measure in May and June. Even though, you know, we still expect a large negative, but maybe some of that negative has been mitigated because businesses were allowed to open and people went out and spent money.
So we don't have that broad brush look at the second quarter GDP yet. There are a lot of other economic reports and indicators that are out there. Kind of point to one or two things that you view as positive developments.
I think the positive that we can really draw from all of this, if there is really anything that we can point to as being positive, is that given the scale of the economic drop that we were expecting, the federal government did respond fairly well. And if I were to grade them, I would say that the response was a good solid B, which was surprisingly better than the typical response that the federal government does have to recessions. And comparing this response to what happened in the last recession between 2007 and 2009. So I think when we look at some recoveries in the economy, you know, we lost 20 million jobs in May, in April. We gained about 2.5 million jobs back in April. It was in large part because businesses qualified for PPP loans. You saw improvements in the unemployment rate. Again, it's in part because of all the different programs that were made available to businesses and to consumers. We're seeing increases in consumer spending, not across the board, mostly at larger stores and online, not really at small businesses, but a lot of that increase in consumption spending is coming as a result of the $600 per week additional unemployment benefits that were provided to a lot of different people that were claiming unemployment insurance across the country. So, you know, people talk about the $1,200 not being significant, and, you know, that's not a lot of money for a lot of different households, given the length of time that that money was supposed to last them. But it is important to remember that the real stimulus was the $2,400 each household that was on unemployment benefits got, in addition to their regular unemployment benefits, which in Arkansas, the median beneficiary was then making about 120 or so percent of what they would have made at their job. So that stimulus is the high point, and I think as a result of that, the economic carnage was sort of stemmed a little bit. That doesn't mean to say that there isn't a whole lot of businesses closing, especially smaller businesses that haven't been able to survive this, that we won't. That doesn't mean to say that we won't need additional federal government support, especially for small businesses, and that maybe at some point, because this pandemic is currently still in its first wave and we see such high numbers, we're probably going to need a national-level bailout of the leisure and hospitality industry, restaurants and bars and those types of activities, in the same way that the federal government bailed out the airlines in this pandemic.
And conversely, point to one or two things that you view as negative and tell me why.
I think the absolute failure in this particular response has been in our inability to effectively test and trace the progression of the virus. So, you know, we have greater levels of testing going on both in Arkansas and the country as a whole, but not enough to where we need it to be able to effectively stem the tide, or at least reduce the number of infections and accurately tell who has and who doesn't have the virus. And we're doing an absolutely poor job in contact tracing across the country and in our state as well. We're simply not contacting enough folks soon enough to stop the spread of the virus, you know, to get people to get tested before they spread that virus to other people if they have been in contact with somebody. And we're not doing it in any systematic form across the various entities because the state doesn't have nearly enough contact tracers. They're obviously trying to double the number of tracers that they have, which is still not going to be enough given the scale of infections in our state. And because as a result of not having enough tracers in the state, you have various entities, including private businesses, that are performing some of their own contact tracing. We don't have a sort of unified standard for contact tracing. We don't have a unified standard for who is contacted, how quickly they're contacted, what they're being told, whether they should be quarantined, whether they should be in isolation, how long they should be in quarantine, how long they should be in isolation. And we're certainly not testing enough people to see if they have actually recovered from the virus, as opposed to just waiting a certain number of days and saying, okay, well, now they're recovered, let's have them reenter the economy. When there's still so much unknown about this virus, you know, we might think that the median person infected by the virus, you know, the virus lasts about 14 days, but that's not true for everyone. It might last as little as 1 week. It might last up to a month. So, you know, without retesting people before reentering the economy, we're not going to be getting ahead of this virus. And without some standardization about isolation and quarantine and how long that should last, we're not going to get ahead of that virus. And to do that, we need to not only provide sick leave, paid sick leave, to people that test positive for the coronavirus, but also to all the people that are required to isolate and quarantine for the entire duration of their isolation and quarantine, or else you're not going to get the necessary compliance with isolation and quarantining from workers that might have come in contact and may be asymptomatic.
Well, we're kind of at this point of limbo right now in terms of, you know, will schools open? It appears that they will, but we don't know for sure. Will the pandemic get worse? Will it get better? A lot of companies, however, are punting on a return to normal in 2020. What is your best guess of how things play out?
I think given where we are, given that our first wave is now starting to peak, when we thought it would peak at some point in April, indicates that we're not really going to be past this pandemic this year at all. You know, I think it's within everybody's reasonable expectation that we will see another surge again this fall in the number of cases. It doesn't have to be that way. Obviously, if we massively invest in contact tracing and testing, We can do a better job of preventing the spread of the virus like other countries have that are doing a much better job than we are testing and tracing the virus. But given where we are today and how we are performing in that respect, I think everybody's expectation is that the economy does not really recover this year. I think on an annualized basis, we're looking at anywhere from 5 to 7% GDP decline for the year as a whole. You know, the second quarter is going to be a huge negative number. The third quarter will be an improvement. It will be positive, obviously, compared to the second quarter, but that doesn't mean, you know, the economy has recovered. And I think our unemployment rate will not reach the February levels probably through the end of 2021 by most estimates. So we have a long way to go.
Mervyn Jebaraj is the director of the Center for Business and Economic Research at the Sam M. Walton College of Business at the University of Arkansas. He talked with Roby Brock, who's with our partner, Talk Business and Politics. You can learn more at talkbusiness.net.